Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick, and with me today I have Young Kim, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick International Small Cap Strategy. Welcome back, Young. Young, non-U.S. small and mid-cap equity markets again performed strongly in the second quarter, outpacing U.S. markets. Can you provide your observations on the year-to-date performance for the international and emerging mid-cap equity space?
Sure. The first quarter was strong for international and emerging market equities, while the U.S. market was weak. The second quarter actually had quite a rocky start in April. We had a wave of new tariffs announced that caused volatility to rise and stocks to decline sharply. But over the course of the second quarter, we saw a powerful rally in the markets. And this started happening when the initially announced tariffs were later suspended, trade negotiations made progress, and fear of a recession receded as a result. And as you pointed out, international and emerging market equities have once again outperformed the U.S. in the second quarter, although the U.S. did perform quite strongly as well. A meaningful component of the outperformance was driven by the weaker U.S. dollar. So the weakening of the dollar continues to be a trend that we're seeing.
Young, do you think the outperformance here is sustainable and why?
Well, this is the question that everyone is asking. And I think my answer is yes, that's very possible. We obviously cannot predict what the markets will do in the near term, but what we can do is look at fundamentals. And fundamentals still look favorable for international and emerging markets. Even though non-U.S. equities have gone up this year, valuations still look very much attractive compared to valuations in the U.S., especially now that the U.S. markets have had a rally in the second quarter. And it's not just a valuation argument anymore. Europe is having a bit of a moment of reckoning and is putting in place measures to boost its spending on defense and infrastructure, and many emerging market countries are well positioned to grow their economy at a faster pace than the U.S. In addition, we have to remember that while the U.S. has outperformed non-U.S. equities in the past, say, 10, 15 years, if you go back farther in history, there have been many periods in which non-U.S. markets outperformed the U.S. The 2000s, the 1980s, and the 1970s would be examples of that. And these trends typically last more than just a couple of quarters. And let me give you another data point. In the past 15 years, trillions of dollars flowed into the U.S. If you look at net investment position, which measures the difference between U.S.-owned foreign assets and foreign-owned U.S. assets, that was around minus $2.5 trillion 15 years ago, meaning foreign investors owned more of the U.S. assets than U.S. did of foreign assets to the tune of $2.5 trillion. Now, this number grew dramatically over the past 15 years, and today is at around minus $25 trillion. So it was up tenfold. While some of it was driven by the rise in the value of U.S. assets, a big chunk was driven by trillions of dollars flowing into the U.S., and one could argue this inflow caused the value of the U.S. assets to rise to some extent, and investors around the world ended up with a huge overweight position in the U.S. And now the global asset allocation narrative is changing, and it is not inconceivable that several trillion dollars could flow out of the U.S., which is already happening, and this type of shift can last a long time. Lastly, I'll just say that you don't have to pick one or the other. You don't have to correctly predict whether the U.S. or non-U.S. will outperform. That is just impossible to do, especially in the short term. The point is that some diversification away from the U.S. seems prudent at the moment if you have a big overweight exposure to the U.S.
Hyung, can you discuss a few of the portfolio's holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the second quarter?
Sure. Top two contributors were Baltic Classifieds and AJ Bell. Baltic Classifieds is a company that is listed in London, but has operations in the Baltic states of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. They run several online classified portals across these countries and across several verticals. The company has been reporting solid business results, which we think contributed to the strong performance of the shares. And AJ Bell operates an investment platform in the UK, and the shares have outperformed during the quarter as the company reported continued earnings growth and market share gains. On the detractor side, the worst performers were Marklines and Alten. Marklines is a Japanese company that operates an information portal for the auto industry. The stock underperformed after the first quarter earnings were impacted by weaker results at some of its adjacent, more cyclical business lines, such as consulting and vehicle benchmarking. And Alten is a leading outsourced research and development engineering firm headquartered in France. Demand for outsourced engineering has been cyclically weak, and as a result, the company's business results have been weak recently, and this, in our view, caused the weakness in the share price.
Young, as a bottom-up high-conviction manager, can you explain why you have been underweight some geographic areas such as India and Japan, while overweight Europe, the UK, as well as Latin America? And did you view these positions as permanent or dynamic?
No, this is not permanent. Our geographic and sector allocations are just byproducts of where we find the most compelling ideas from our bottom-up approach. We have been underweight India and Japan recently because we have not been able to find many businesses that meet our quality criteria while also trading at reasonable valuation levels. India's small mid-cap space overall is very expensive in our view, and while Japan isn't necessarily an expensive market overall, high-quality companies in Japan tend to trade at demanding multiples, so it has been difficult for us to find reasonably priced quality businesses there. But more recently, during April, when the Japanese market declined due to tariff concerns, we were able to find some ideas and add to our Japan exposure. So we'll just go anywhere we see opportunities. Our relative positions in Europe, UK, and Latin America are also just reflections of our bottom-up investment process. We used to be underweight UK, but when Brexit happened and UK stocks went down, we found more opportunities and went overweight. So it really depends and can change over time, depending on what we see in the markets.
Lastly, Young, US dollar weakness has helped improve returns in US dollars this year. Can you offer some historical perspective on where the dollar is today, what level versus where it's been in the past?
Yeah, one way to do that is to point to the dollar index, DXY. It is an index representing the value of the dollar relative to a basket of six foreign currencies, with the euro being the biggest component of it. This index was created in 1973 after the collapse of the Bretton Woods system. So it has a history of over 50 years. At the start, the value of the index was 100, and it has since been moving up and down in different cycles, driven by various factors and secular shifts in the global markets. But in its 50-plus year history, the value of the index averaged at around 98, so not deviating much from the beginning value in 1973. It did, however, have peaks and troughs, which may be worth highlighting. In over 50 years, the index had exceeded 110, which is one standard deviation above the average, only three times. The first time was in the 80s when the dollar appreciated sharply, peaking at around 150, which led to the Plaza Accord. The second time was during the tech bubble when it reached around 120 in 2001. And lastly, in 2022, when the dollar appreciated, driven by post-COVID rate hikes. And more recently, early in January of this year, the index was at 109.9. So really close to the 110 mark, having appreciated steadily in the past 15 plus years since the global financial crisis. So the depreciation of the dollar this year so far came off of a historically high level, and today is right around the long-term historical average level. But when certain factors and narratives change, and the index starts to move in one direction, these things tend to move in long streaks and rarely just stop at the average point, neither on the way up nor on the way down. It tends to swing more like a pendulum. It tends to strengthen in long streaks, followed by long periods of weakness. And we just had a 15-year bull run And of course, fresh in investors' minds is the most recent wave of the US dollar strength. I should note here that this index is based on nominal exchange rate. But if you look at the real exchange rate, which takes into account inflation and therefore offers a more fundamental view, the dollar is still 10 to 15% above its long-term average.
Young, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.